Shalom, Mishpachah, and welcome to the Shofar Message Program. This is Dan, along with our effervescent teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Erev Tov, and Shalom as well. Let us rejoice, keeping in mind that the joy of our Lord is our real strength. Let us now bless Him, the forever merciful Almighty God.
Abba, Father, we pray you are blessed by your righteous ones. May we never cause you grief. We, of course, recognize these days and will focus upon you alone to see your faithful ones through any difficult times. It certainly aids the sharpening of our endurance and will ultimately see your glory. We pray for America with its many lost souls and the salvation of our loved ones, along with the speedy recovery for those who are sick amongst us. We pray this with a joyful heart in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. We are so glad you tuned in, because tonight we will be starting the Spring Feast study. Since we really haven't gone into this deeper details in about 4 years. So you might want to go ahead and turn to Leviticus 23.
Meanwhile, any news worth mentioning?
Well, definitely worth mentioning is the good news of Yeshua's soon return to call up his bride.
Yeah, there are many signs to confirm that.
And what's really obvious is watching the enemy gaining more ground quickly. And Ephesians 6 confirms to us who we are actually in battle with.
But he doesn't win the war.
He surely does not, Revelation 19. But I have to mention this. It is interesting, you know, when we discuss certain things about the globalists, to include many of our government, some still think, especially when discussing certain evil acts surrounding like pedophilia or spirit cooking, for instance, that many will comment to me like, oh, no way can anyone be that evil.
But it's not flesh and blood, really.
Right. So, I have an idea. Perhaps it would be better when addressing these elite, mostly rich of the earth of Revelation 6 to rather call them principalities in high places. So let's say it like this. The principalities in high places want to keep us wearing masks so to increase gum disease and inhibit our breathing of fresh air.
As in our needed oxygen.
You know, our leaders, and by the way, some of them are not even elected, without a doubt are being demonically controlled. We can totally see, as we often noted last year, that Biden is just temporary. In fact, Kamala is already having Zoom meetings with very important leaders of other countries.
Including Netanyahu of Israel.
That's right. And then there's the crisis at our southern border. Many with COVID that are being released into our society, which will ultimately push us back into lockdown, because that is the principality's agenda.
Power. So, watch the variants come into play as well.
Oh, no doubt. And probably a different deadly virus, I would even say, by this fall. You know, as soon as most everyone is vaccinated and Big Pharma rakes in billions, then we'll need another vaccine.
In my opinion, none of this will ever completely go away.
For sure. Which is why Jesuit Fauci says we should still remain vigilant.
Yeah, because he already knows.
Mm-hmm. And if protesters revolt, more will die, causing fear and easily bring the people into submission. The principalities and powers also want to push people living in rural areas into the cities.
Well, one reason is why gas prices are rising.
Which everyone also knew would happen by closing the Keystone Pipeline. But we've talked about all this before. If the Dems were successful at stealing the election,
and they surely were,
so we need to keep in mind what Jesus said in Matthew 24.
See, you are not troubled, for these things must happen, but the end is not yet.
He was referring to the beginning of the tribulation, but the end would not be for 7 years.
So, judgment is nearing.
Many, especially anti-pre-rapture Christians, are describing events that will aggressively happen during the tribulation, thinking we will still be here. However, we are actually seeing these things in small doses, so to have important clues resulting in the bride's passion to witness even more now.
Yeah, well, you can add the EMFs to that clue list.
Oh, yeah, right. Electromagnetic frequencies.
Right.
They're now being used, propelled by 5G, on some to experiment with mind control techniques. Apparently, they, well, I guess I should say principalities, can put voices in your head, which is enhanced by this fifth generation wireless technology.
Well, now even 6G is starting.
Right. So keep your cell phones at a distance and don't sleep in the same room with anything wireless. And a few companies are making shields for your phones now as well. And if there really are nanoparticles in these vaccines, as many claim, then 5 and 6G frequencies can even energize those particles for various uses, especially for tracking.
Well, some say they don't care. They have nothing to hide.
Oh, yeah? What if they can spot you around a person that has COVID, which, thanks to infrared technology, can also identify? They can put you in quarantine.
Most haven't thought about that.
And there are those who actually want the RFID chips, where 5G technology can really control you.
It's all about greed.
Which has three prongs to it: power, control, and money. You know, skills that we as Christians find hard to comprehend in others because, well, we could care less about that. We focus on Jesus and being close to him.
For he is our power.
Uh-huh. By the way, weather can be controlled, too, from space.
Called geoengineering.
While blaming it on the people, it's our fault because we're polluting to justify taking more of our freedoms away. And since they just passed the porked-up relief package, they continue to plunge America into more debt that we will never recover from.
Unless all nations join the one-world government.
Yes, that's their plan. You know, where all debts are canceled as they worship that false Messiah.
It is scriptural.
Oh, it surely is. Okay, I think we'll have to save Israel's news for next week.
Okay, we welcome your end-time questions to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net, or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate these last days' insight, please tuck in a love offering to help with our expenses, and God will bless you for it. As well, you'll receive our informative teaching newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which contains a boatload of teachings with all the past radio and instructional newsletters archived for your added learning. Okay, Leviticus 23.
Yes. We will first look at how God instituted and Moses recorded in the Torah 7 major appointments with his people. And if you don't remember anything else, remember this. The Hebrew word for feast is moed, M-O-E-D, which means appointment. Look it up, number 4150 in your Strong's Concordance.
Leviticus 23:2. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim, holy convocations, these are my feasts.
Again, Feasts are really appointments, and convocations means rehearsals. And that's number 4744, Mikra, or simply put, a gathering for rehearsal. So, let's read it with today's English meetings.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointments of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim, holy rehearsal gatherings, these are my appointments.
Wow, saints of God, especially you newer believers, are you hearing this? Are you taking it into your spirit? Does it say Jewish feasts?
No.
If this is your first time hearing this, that alone should make you sit up and take notice. God himself made appointments with you too. We have been grafted into the olive tree.
Yes, Romans 11 says we now share the root system.
The good news is that the first four appointments have been kept already through his son for our salvation. So all who choose to accept it have been made beneficiaries of this great good news, gospel, of these kept appointments. And now we will soon benefit immensely from the last, yet to be fulfilled, three appointments as well, which surround his return.
That we talk about every season.
Every fall season, yep. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles.
All archived on our webpage.
You know, I still remember about 25 years ago when, as assistant pastor at the Assemblies of God Church in Burton, when I first started teaching on this remarkable gold nugget, foreign to most Christians at that time, the look on the people's faces.
Yeah, you know, I remember they were stunned.
They never knew about his appointments.
Mm-hmm.
But now, after many years, the body of Christ is finally waking up and understanding how important these appointments are for proper eschatology.
But still, not all are.
Well, especially the mainstream churches who still think of them as just being a Jewish thing, ignorant of the fact that we are all spiritual Jews.
Well, remember the Gentile, Ruth.
Right. A type of the church who said to her Jewish mother-in-law,
Naomi,
you are now my people and I will not go back to the way it was before. And we pray you all have truly realized the fullness of our Jewish salvation and would never go back either. Which is why we look at the Bible as a truly Jewish book to read through Jewish eyes. And once you get this, you'll just never go back. And that means looking at scripture as I first did in the beginning in the Western mode, and I'll just never do that again.
But it takes time.
It's called maturing or being of full age.
As Hebrews 5:14 commands us to exercise our senses.
Oh, amen. So every year we recognize these wonderful gold nuggets in the hope of reaching more hearts.
Because it's also very evangelistic to unbelievers.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's seldom used because, well, some Christians just don't seem to let it sink in enough to be able to share these particular truths in any detail with the unsaved. Some just think it's complicated. Well, anyway, it could be complicated, but only at first. And we're going to keep trying to make it easier for you to share.
Right.
So for the next 3 or 4 weeks, we will be focusing on his already kept appointments.
Maybe tonight's listeners can get the word out to listen to this program.
Or get it later on our website.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord's Spring Feasts are the first three appointments that surrounded his first coming as a humble servant to pay the debt for all our sins.
Should you choose to accept it?
Right. It's always one's choice. First is Passover.
His blood sacrifice.
The next day is unleavened bread.
His burial.
And 2 days later, the Feast of First Fruits.
His resurrection.
And he was the first fruits of the resurrection.
as confirmed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:23.
And then, 50 days later, at the end of springtime, he also fulfilled another promise on the Feast of Pentecost by sending the Comforter,
the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts 2.
Which we will talk about in May.
So every Passover begins on the Hebrew lunar calendar of Nisan 14.
Which this year falls on our Gregorian solar calendar, which, by the way, changes yearly. But this year it's on March 27th at sundown until sundown the next day, which then begins the full week or 7 days of unleavened bread. Now, in ancient days, as laid out in Exodus 12, they would kill the lamb at exactly twixt the evening or 3 p.m., which is still the 14th of Nisan until sundown. Lo and behold, it was exactly at 3 p.m. that Jesus' side was pierced, fulfilling to the very hour his appointment with death as the Lamb of God.
How do you know? How do we know it was 3 o'clock?
Well, in Exodus 12:6 in the Hebrew text, it actually says twixt the evening, for that is how they told time with the sundial. This would be halfway between the sun from its highest point in the sky, which of course is noon, and the setting of sun at evening around 6. So, between the evenings equals 3 p.m.
So, twixt the morning would be 9 a.m.
Right, because it would be halfway between the sun rising and its highest point at noon. And twixt the morning was when they put Jesus on the cross.
He hung for 6 hours, and then his side was pierced at 3 p.m.
So both events, the slaying of the animal lamb at the temple and the piercing of Yeshua on the cross, just outside the temple to the north, were done simultaneously on Nisan 14. Wow. All I have to say is that if you can just retain that much, you can use it to evangelize.
Oh, yeah, especially to a Jewish person.
God so intricately arranged every minute detail from way back, scene by scene, line by line, and even word by word. The right timing, the right places, and all the right people.
Our God is an awesome God.
Amen. You know, we should point out that the Jews today call the whole 8 days the Passover season.
But scripturally, only the first day is Passover.
Right, at sundown till sundown the next day, which then the date becomes Nisan 15, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which continues on for 7 days.
Again, the whole season is 8 days in length.
With the Feast of First Fruits, according to Leviticus 23:11, should always be on the Sunday during the week of Unleavened Bread. Today, the Jews, in error, don't adhere to that date for a couple of reasons. And one, we think it's because Christians claim Jesus rose from the dead on that day.
Which he did, but we'll cover all that later.
Right. Now let's focus on the first Passover, because all seven feasts are also historical prior to Yeshua's fulfillment. Even Palm Sunday on Nisan 10 plays a big role coming 4 days prior to the Passover event, because each family had to pick a lamb as well. In Exodus 12:3, God says that on the 10th of this month, that would be Nisan, every man shall take for himself an unblemished lamb. And then in verse 6, he says,
now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it twixt the evening,
which we already explained was 3 p.m. So, 4 days before Passover on Nisan 10, a lamb was chosen out of many and then carefully examined it for 4 days to be sure it was blemish-free, checking every inch of skin and hair follicles.
Had to be perfect in every way.
Yes, and the size of the lamb should be fitting for the family, so nothing is left over.
Which is yet another picture
that Jesus gave all of himself for us. Jesus was a sinless, unblemished lamb.
He was young and died for all.
And here's another picture.
Jesus, too, mm-hmm. was examined for 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Remember, Jesus rode on the donkey into Jerusalem as prophesied in Zechariah 9:9, exactly 4 days before his death on Passover.
Nisan 10, which is Palm Sunday.
And he was grilled or examined by the Jews and the Romans for 4 days in the temple court. And as recorded in John 18, Pilate finally said,
I find no blemish in him.
These are the same words that are spoken every year after examining the animal lamb for 4 days, fulfilling the biblical requirements as we just read in Exodus 12:6.
Well, yeah, you know, God set it all up with amazing detail.
Oh. Okay, back to Egypt in Exodus 12. After the 4 days of a detailed examination of the family's lamb, it's now the 14th. The Hebrews were told to apply the blood from their sacrificed lamb to the three doorposts, outlining it totally, even leaving the basin of blood at the threshold.
So totally outlined with the blood of the lamb, their
yes.
animal.
Yes.
Including their...
And by doing so, death could not touch their household, as it would the firstborn of all others.
Including their animals.
Now, this first Passover was such an important typologically spiritual event that God told Moses, and it's recorded in Exodus 12, as we taught on last week, to add an extra special calendar, leaving the names of the months the same, but now Nisan would become the first month instead of the seventh. So from now on, they would follow their new biblical calendar, beginning with Nisan as its first month. So if you missed last week's teaching, it is on our webpage about these calendars in more detail. But do remember this, that after Exodus 12, when reading the scriptures, when you come across a date that says in the second, third, or fourth month, use the religious biblical calendar that begins with Nisan. However, before Exodus 12, you can use the civil calendar or the first calendar, which starts in Tishrei. Now, this is a huge Hebraic Roots 101 piece of knowledge. Teachers especially should never forget this, or you'll never know what season it is for sure, thereby not understanding why they might be doing or saying certain expressions. So, Passover is memorialized as not only the escape from Egypt's slavery, which is a type of our past slavery to sin, but a time for the removal of personal sin by the sacrificing of the unblemished lamb in every household. Leaven or yeast, when used, especially in bread, always expands and puffs up. So it is associated with sin, like pride puffs oneself up. And when used in scripture, leaven is always a type of sin. So each year, prior to Passover, the Hebrews remove all the leaven from their houses as a picture of sin soon to be removed from their souls when they sacrifice the lamb. Most still don't see that Jesus is that lamb for anyone who wants to receive him. And according to John 19:30, after hanging on the cross for 6 hours, the last of his seven famous phrases, he said, it is finished, tetelestai in Greek, which means paid in full. So here's even another picture. These same words were written on parchment and given to all convicts when they finished serving their time, when their debts were paid in full. You see, there is a debt to pay for sins. Unless you accept the free gift that Jesus paid for you by his death, thereby canceling your debt for all your sins, well, you are just a fool not to receive it. So therefore, have you received Christ? Take him into your life right now. We're running out of time. I leave you with the erotic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.